Welcome in. Final hour of The Drive, and it is a packed final hour. At 8:30, we will give you our final four and our winners and talk about some last-second moves for your brackets, because that's really what today is all about. It starts, in my opinion, the best time, the best event of the sports year, March Madness, and this is the best weekend of the year. Again, my opinion, and opinions are like you know what and all that good stuff, but four straight days and nothing but college basketball and buzzer beaters. And by this time, April 1st, you will know a name that you don't know right now that will create a legend, whether it's a Shabazz Napier or a Sean May, former Sacramento King.
Sean May.
Yeah, guys that you
Eric
don't.
Eric Montross.
Abso-freaking-lutely. It's 8:03, time for RC Country Hobbies. More than toys for big boys, it's for everyone in the family. 6011 Folsom Boulevard, right here in Sacramento. Before we get to Sean Salisbury. Oh, and by the way, you're also going to get an opportunity to win Avenged Sevenfold tickets. That's coming up at 8:40. Darrell Revis has issues in football because he can't guard anyone anymore. But also, he had issues off the floor stemming from
in life.
A fight that he was allegedly in. All charges were dropped by a Pennsylvania judge's decision. All these charges were dropped. Revis is in the clear, at least legally. But a childhood friend of Revis's testified just Wednesday that he was the guy who threw the knockout punches during an altercation that was last month. Rashawn Bolton said he was coming to the aid of his friend Darrell Revis, and he punched the two drunk men and knocked them out. Now, TMZ had video of these guys sleeping on the ground, and you could hear somebody in the background saying, "I knocked them out, they're both sleeping, blah, 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 blah." The guy's name, again, is Rashawn Jeter, also known as Rashawn Bolton. He is a fellow Aliquippa, Pennsylvania. I don't know how to pronounce
right.
that. Native. So here's the thing. Like, maybe that's what happened. Maybe that's what happened. But if you grow up with Darrell Revis, you're 31 years old. I mean, let's put our tinfoil hats on here. Nate, if you and I grew up together and you were a major superstar and you were worth millions and millions and millions of dollars, mm-hmm. and you said, "Hey, listen, I'll give you $1 million. I never punched anybody. You testify. We're all good. I'll tell you what. I got $1 million.
Well, yeah.
I'm taking it.
I mean, is that are we trying to have some sort of moral debate here?
I'm just.
Take that money.
I think so.
I'm with you.
Katie, would you spend, let's say, a year in jail for $1 million?
Oh, you have to do jail time?
Yeah. I don't know what it is. I don't know if the dude's going to serve jail time or not. But let's say there's a possibility you could serve a year in jail. Would you? And obviously, it's going to be on your record, and everyone's going to know that you knocked people out.
No.
For $1 million?
I would not. But this is. Does that surprise you, knowing me as well as you do?
No. It doesn't. Honestly, I think you're being serious.
I'm not motivated by money like that.
I would absolutely do it.
I don't know. I'd have to rethink it with jail time.
$1 million.
It's more just that it's a wasted year.
Sure. What are you going to do next year that's going to have the effect on your life that $1 million would?
Jail?
That's what I'm saying. No, I'm saying in life. You say it's a wasted year, and it is a wasted year. You're in jail, although you could work out.
Listen, my societal and like my social experiences, Dave, those are priceless. My
telling
friend.
You, I'm gonna
cannot put a tag on that.
I'm gonna get out of jail. I'm probably gonna.
Your social experiences include your cats and your PlayStation.
Hey, just because I'm not with you.
Listen, you're a young man, Nathan. You have a young wife. You're a budding family with you and your wife and your cats, and you just bought a house. I mean, let's talk reality here. You're away from your wife and your cats for a year, and you're probably going to lose your job. There's no doubt about that. But when you get out, that house you own. No more payments. You still have the best part of that $1 million left after the effect. So you put a decent chunk of that away for your kids' education, and then you got more money to live on, invest, do it. I mean, I'm just saying $1 million to the layperson, and that's you, me, and our listeners.
I would just enjoy the free meals and workout time.
Oh, my God.
From the 707.
Make some new friends.
Somebody doubts that me or Nate could last one day in the state pen. I'll tell you something. I've spent 3 days in jail.
They'd want to keep me around, trust me.
You did?
I did when I was 21 years old in the Sarpy County Jail in Omaha, Nebraska. And let me tell you something. I came out a hardened individual, but I made it through.
3 days?
Friday to Monday.
I'm going to tell you something.
Do I even want to know why?
Yeah, I've told this story before. It was my 21st birthday. It was a criminal trespassing on a bridge between Nebraska and Iowa, drunk and disorderly, even though we weren't. And then when they searched my...
You were just disorderly?
Yeah. Well, no, we were scared. We were hiding. We didn't want to get caught. And then when I got booked, the thing was, is we were drinking peppermint schnapps, which I don't do anymore. And then one of the problems...
Because you're not 80?
Right, exactly. Well, it's all we could get. And then you know, my 21st birthday, we were upset because nobody had any weed that night. So then to top it off, when I got booked, they looked behind my driver's license and my wallet, and there was a roach from a joint in there. So I got killed with the possession of marijuana less than an ounce. Now, all charges were eventually dropped, of course. My name was cleared, but I spent 3 days in jail. And on that note, joining us right now, my dear friend, who I have worked with and known for a long, long time, I do believe he is the flat-out best sports guest in radio, and he is now the career is awesome. He is the host from, let me do the math here, 1 to 5 p.m. Pacific on SB Nation Radio, the Sean Salisbury Show. It is Sean Salisbury. What's up, bud?
I'm doing good, man. Good to be on with you guys. Thanks.
We're having a debate because Darrell Revis got all his charges dropped because one of his childhood friends said that he was the one that knocked out two guys in a fight outside, and so we were putting on our conspiracy hats and saying, you know, maybe the best friend took a little something to take the fall. So what we were doing is, and I know it's different for you because you had a career as an NFL quarterback and you're rich, but I'm saying for like the lay person, would it be worth it? If you got offered $1 million to take the fall and you had to go to jail for a year, would you do it?
For a kid, probably, or for a family member. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good friend, I'd think about it. Would Chris Carter say, "You got to have a fall guy"?
Right.
that's my guy. And Chris, maybe, you know, we all laugh. Chris, you can't say that. But now you look back and you see something, you say, "Damn, he might have been right." Chris might have been right. The first things first. Do all you can to stay out of that trouble. And with guys like Revis or big time athletes, you see them. The truth is, guys, I always used to think it was kind of gaudy and cheesy for these guys to have a security guy with them.
Mm-hmm.
I did. I mean, I wasn't a big enough star to have, and at 6'5", 235, I felt like, well, I can protect myself. And, but, you know, guy, you'll go into a bar or a restaurant or to a place or to a game. People will always egg you on, waiting for the chance to capitalize on one of these guys' star power and see if they can get a shot to the mouth so they can get paid. But I always used to think it was cheesy. But at this day and age, honestly, if you're a big superstar, or if you're Brady, or if you're it really big Derek Carr, there's always going to be that guy at a place you go that is jealous or has a chip on his shoulder or something. It is smart. It's just like drunk drivers. Somebody should always have a guy, one of their buddies that you drive to pay, you know, it's on his payroll for a couple $100 a week. You drive when I need you to drive. I mean, we all have a friend that maybe the friend's unemployed, or maybe he's just your buddy, or maybe he doesn't need to work because he's got plenty of money and he doesn't drink. Let pay him to be the driver and or a security guy to protect you from that. I'm serious. Not that he can't fight his own fights. We don't want a guy like that to fight their own fights. So with Revis' situation, you know what? Hey, we weren't there. We didn't see it. But more power to him if he didn't have to go to jail and nobody knows that all the charges were dismissed. But I also say this, that if I'm going to take a fall for somebody, it damn well better be worth it. But you know what? I also know that I'm not taking a fall for anybody that's involved with drugs.
Sure.
Beating on a kid or a woman, those type of things. I'll be there for a friend every day. But especially if it's somebody you've warned, dude, you got to stay out of trouble, and they just keep getting in trouble. Eventually, you rob Peter, you're the one who's going to pay Paul, because sometimes that's the only way it gets that person fixed or straight. So if you're going to take a fall or a bullet, and no pun intended on a real bullet, but if you're going to take that for somebody, you damn well better be real close. That friend better have some trust, and you better trust that person. But I ain't going to the big house just for the hell of it for a buddy who's screwing things up for me. That ain't happening. I'm a good friend, too.
Sean, you mentioned, yeah, a lot of people would probably do anything for their family members, right?
Yep.
But
yep.
There's some stuff going on. I don't know if you've heard about the whole LeVar Ball thing. I don't know. It's quite under the radar for some people, you know. I'm not sure. This is something to me that is absolutely taking on a life of its own. And as each day passes, I'm more and more infuriated by what's going on. How far do you think LeVar Ball can take this before he really does legitimately start to hurt his son's draft stock?
He's already hurt his. I don't know about his draft stock because the kid's a great player. The sad thing about it, the kid's an amazing player. The dad's mouth's bigger than the kid's talent. And you know what? he's a fodder for our shows, and it's great. Keep talking, dude. Keep talking because it gives us something to talk about. But if you're just talking about the psychological part of it, of being a parent, and I'm not a counselor or any of that, but I'm a dad of three kids. And for those of you guys that are parents, you understand what I'm talking about. LeVar Ball's the dad who went to the Little League baseball game, and on the first day, if the coach didn't put him at pitcher or shortstop, he wanted to fight the coach. LeVar Ball's the dad that when his kid played basketball growing up, like he was his son, he was the coach. And everything had to go through him. LeVar Ball's dad, there's no bigger helicopter parent I've ever seen. He's that guy that makes you, when you're sitting watching a game, that yells at the referee when his kid doesn't get fouled, but his kid's always fouled, that you got to leave the stands and go sit by yourself because you can't take it. He is, to me, there's a difference between love and supporting your son. And then there's a difference between the pathetic helicopter living your 2.2 average at Washington State through your son and putting more pressure on. He's not doing his son any favors. His son's a great player. But now his son's got to carry around the burden of answering his own questions, and he's handled that part so well. But he's also got to carry around the burden of his dad wanting to be a bigger star than him. It's pathetic. It is. There's going to come a point in time when it's going to hit a wall, and he's either going to ruin his relationship with his kid, or there's going to be a front office that says, you know what, this guy's not quite as good as Ball, but I can't have his dad at every practice. Let's just not draft him. He's going to get drafted high, probably first three picks. He's a great talent. But to me, he's the biggest clown in sports right now. He is. I thought Grayson Allen was a pain in the ass. This dude, I've never seen anything like it. I can't fathom. When he wakes up in the morning, what goes through his mind? I mean, it just keeps, like Barkley and Jordan and Nike, and it's one after the other. He's just, the bottom line, guys, he's the guy that got picked eighth at the schoolyard and then went and played college at 2.2-point average and thinks that he should have been averaging 42 points a game is the best thing we've ever seen. He may love his kids, but he's got an odd way of showing it. He's pathetic. He is. Our poll question, who's the biggest villain in NCAA basketball right now? And he was on our poll question. Not his kid. Him. He ain't even playing.
Mm-hmm.
He frustrates me. I'm with you, Katie. I am. This is taking on a life of its own. It is pathetic. He wants to be a bigger star than his kids. And when that happens, that's not called parenting. That's called this guy needs help. I think he's obsessed with this star power. I do.
Sean, to what degree does behavior like that put a bullseye on the kid's back in the eyes of his peers? I mean, how much is he going to get grilled when he gets up to the next level type of, let's hear your daddy talk now?
Yes. Oh, it's already, Steve. I mean, I said when he said about the thing about Steph Curry, didn't John Wall say, Steph's going to have to take care of that one, going to get a load of him, basically, going to get some of him. But that's going to be in every game. And so while the kid's a great player, what happens is not just going to be the players he's playing against. Imagine practice. We've all been in locker rooms. Trust me, players love banter. We love to give a guy a hard time. We love to feed on their, if a guy's always late, or a guy loves a donut, or how'd you get your donuts? All those things, we love to do that. This will be beyond, it will be epic proportions, which means he's going to have to be Michael Jordan and control practice so he can shut everybody up. But if he's a guy, even then, his own teammates are going to put a target on his back. Say, man, is your old man coming again? Is your old man going to be sharp again? Can't have everywhere we go, it's your old man talking. It puts pressure on the team, puts pressure on the kid. Or eventually, his own friends aren't going to want to hang around him because he can't handle his old man's mouth. And I'm sure he loves his kids. I'm sure he does. But this sure as hell, and I'm no psychologist, but we all talk about helicopter parents. I can't fathom being a coach. Steve Alford can't say anything because he saved Steve Alford's job because he's got three balls coming down the pike, not just two. He's got three. He's got a third one. Lucky him. But if he's not there, Lonzo Ball's not there, Steve Alford may not be the coach of UCLA. So he can't say anything, but I just can't. He's alienating. His dad is alienating a bunch of people from the kid. He thinks he's doing him favors. He's not. The kid's performance will speak for itself. This is a tough love, or this is just stupidity. And he's putting a major target on the kid's back from his own teammates, not just from his opponents.
Sean Salisbury joining us. And, you know, weirdly enough, other than LeVar and Lonzo Ball, there's another 63 teams getting ready to kick off or tip off between now and tomorrow. Sean, I think this is the best weekend in sports. That's me. I overrate it.
Yep.
Are you a bracket guy? Are you into this stuff?
Oh, this is – let me put it to you this way. Tradition. I took Thursday and Friday off of my shows. I do not – I've been doing this since my kids were in junior high, elementary school. I take my kids out of school and a bunch of their buddies, and we go to a restaurant or wherever where they couldn't drink and watch games both days all day. And a couple parents would join. And then as they got older through high school, same thing. Because those experiences with your kid are far more important than going to math class that day. I've always felt that. So we've been doing this every year, and the crowd's gotten bigger. So I came down to Dallas today. I'm here Thursday, Friday. I'm going to train some quarterbacks over the weekend at a camp. But these are my four favorite days in sports
yep.
of the year, without question. So I'm about 45 minutes away from loading up at a bar. Sitting there. Now your kids can drink because they're all over 21. We get after it. But watching all day long, watching my bracket, watching every game, I will not miss this. These are the first two especially, but this is the four best days in sports, and it ain't close for me. I love it.
Sean, do you have any upsets in your bracket? We're about to get into ours, I think, in the next segment, but is there anything that kind of you're picking as an upset that's a big
yeah,
one?
Yeah, there's some teams to keep an eye on. I tell you, with all this talk about UCLA, and while you got to score the ball, we all know that. That's so obvious. And some teams like Virginia have trouble scoring. So the question, when they run through their bracket, are they going to be able to prevent somebody from outscoring them? Their whole thing is to slow it down and keep it slow. They're so well coached. You take a look at a team like Middle Tennessee State who can shoot. I think they're going to get Minnesota to 12-5 in their game, in their first-round game. I'm keeping a close eye on Cincinnati. I think UCLA, with their offense, can score on anybody, but the biggest problem with them is they can't defend. So you've got to kind of do both. And then Oregon, who I loved, but with the injury to Boucher, they're going to win a round or two, but they're going to run into a team that they just can't keep up on the backboards to do it. So there'll be some. My biggest through the bracket, I think my biggest, if you want to call them a mid-major, Wichita State in that bracket. Wichita State's going to beat Kentucky. When they match up and they'll move on. But I got
that one too. Hey, cheers to that.
I got Wichita State in that one. And I'll tell you who's sneaky good with Flanagan, even though I think college basketball, it's a guard game. You got to have good guards who handle the perimeter. It's not a big man's game, but Flanagan and Purdue's a good basketball player. But I'm going with my man Bill Self in Kansas. I like Kansas and Arizona. Arizona's playing right at the right time. They are so well coached. Went for one hell of a run down the stretch. And I'm going to tell you, a sneaky team, even though they shouldn't be sneaky, but Mike Bray's an underrated coach. Notre Dame's a good basketball team. If you blink in that lower bracket there, and they could be in the Final Four. We could actually have three or four teams in the same conference in the Final Four. But I got Kansas beating Arizona in the national championship game. I love Kansas's guard play. Kansas's problem is they got to find a way early in the tournament. They always seem to be, they're a one seed a lot or a two seed. Somewhere along the line, some mid-major, some team always gives them trouble early in the tournament. They got to guard against that to get late. But I love this team. And then, there's always the Izzo factor. If you can pull this team off, they're not very good. But when in doubt, this is coaching matters more in college basketball than it does in any other sport. There's stamps on it. All things being equal, take the coach. If it comes down to you can't decide. But I got Kansas beating Arizona in the Final Four.
Now you say take the coach, and I agree with you. You trust Bill Self?
How ironic that I say take the coach. my favorite guy, if I had one game to win, when Larry Brown was the head coach,
yep.
he'd have been one of them. I'd take Tom Izzo even over Mike Krzyzewski or a guy like Rick Pitino. Larrinaga is one hell of a coach, but I would take Tom Izzo first. Bill Self would fall in the middle of the pack. He's always got a talented team. I don't trust him early in tournaments, sure. Dave. I don't. I do trust him. If they get to the Final Four, he'll come up big late. My biggest thing is, can he keep that team focused when they're supposed to beat a team by 15 and they let them hang around and a team shoots their way into it? That's where I got a problem. If somebody's within two or four points with Bill Self late, I always wonder how they can coach down the stretch. But when in doubt, take the coach. And I'm taking the team of one of the coaches that maybe early in the tournament wouldn't be my first choice. If I could have Izzo, I'd take him and stick him on Kansas's team, and life would be good.
Sean Salisbury joining us this morning on The Drive. This is an interesting time of year to me because NBA kind of rules basketball. But when you look at March Madness, I think it pulls in a lot of people that really aren't even basketball fans necessarily. Is it because of the tournament, or is it really just the gambling?
I think it's both. It's the energy we're talking about. I'm big on, I think people that they love the brackets because they love the challenge. You know, you'll get people that pick on the mascots. You get people that pick on. Hello?
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, sorry. We had something pot up. Go ahead.
No problem. No, Katie, I think it's the fact that, you know, it's kind of another excuse for Americans to go out and take a, you know, drink on a Thursday. We find holidays to drink on it. But I do think it's because of the brackets and the gambling's big. But I also think we love the Steph Curry on Davidson, where he goes off and runs off and takes the team deeper into the tournament and it plays out of his mind. We love the Junior Robinsons of the world from Mount St. Mary's, who hits 23 points and he's a 5'5", you know, 5'5" guard. We love these stories. And so I think the stories, and you know darn well, there's going to be a 5 and a 12 or a 4 and a 13. Somebody's going down in the next 2 days. You just know what's going to happen. So I think the drama of a guy hitting a buzzer beater for a mid-major, if we even want to call teams like that, the Creightons of the world aren't mid-majors anymore. They're good basketball teams. So I think the drama and the gambling lends to it. And then you're with buddies and everybody's comparing brackets. So I think that has something to do with it because this is my favorite sport. And I love college basketball and March Madness. I study it like I'm like a lunatic. Now, I'm not going to make anybody any money gambling, but I sure as hell love it and get after it and love talking to the coaches and the players before and after as we lead into the tournament. It's my favorite time of year, too. I love it with spring training baseball at the same time.
Sean, we're completely out of time, but I got to tell you, next time you come on, we're going to talk about this. You got into a conversation earlier this week that was right in my freaking wheelhouse. Hidden Valley Ranch is by far and away the best ranch out there. And to me, ranch is the most diverse condiment there is.
And I'll let you go. If you don't, there's no doubt, if you don't dip fries, put it on your burger.
Pizza.
If you don't dip pizza in ranch, then you're inhuman. Okay.
We're gonna get into this on Monday. I promise.
They're eating some trash pizza, man.
Go Jayhawks.
Well, Sean, I think I might agree with you as we're gonna do our brackets next. We'll reveal that. Always a blast for you, for us to talk to you. We'll talk to you next week, buddy.
You guys are awesome. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Sean.
All right, take care. That's Sean Salisbury. We're late for a break. We will get into a ranch conversation next week. Trust me on that. Our bracket picks. We will reveal our Final Four, our champion, maybe a couple of upsets. We're not going through the whole thing, but just as everybody's getting their last-minute picks
pick
in.
We're not going pick by pick?
Yeah, you know, if it was up to me, we would. We'll give you a couple of first-round upsets. We'll go through our Final Four. And remember, you can go to khdk.com right now. You still have about 30, 40 minutes to get in. Get a bracket in. It's free. You're competing against us. There's only a few stations involved in this thing, and you could get an American Express gift card worth $5,000 plus another few gift cards they're giving out throughout the rounds as well. It costs you nothing, and you can make some money. Get there now, khdk.com. We'll break, come back with brackets next on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHTK. In about 5 minutes, you'll have a chance to win Avenged Sevenfold tickets. Listen for the secret phrase, or word, I should say, and then 90% of you will get it wrong on the text line. But you could win. Dave, Katie, and Nate. Katie down in Phoenix. Matt, George, turn your mic on. Get your bracket out. Here we go. Let's start. I should get some sort of background music going here. There we go.
That'll work.
Yeah, Peanuts is always good for all measures.
Is there music going right now?
Yeah, you can't hear it because of the mix and things and whatever. But there's music. Don't worry about it. Let's start with the first round upsets. Matt, you got a big upset in the first round?
I do, but I'm still pulling up my bracket, so give me a second.
Katie Christensen, do you?
Do I have a big upset?
Oh, dear Lord.
I gotta like really look at this here, guys.
All right, Nate, do you have a big upset in the first round?
We were all ready for this.
Yeah.
I do have Rhode Island over Creighton.
Hey,
it's an 11 over a 6.
That's
not
11,
a real
6.
Not
I
a real
my
huge
biggest
one.
Is Marquette over South Carolina.
Marquette over South Carolina. Marquette is a – let me find
– I've got Oklahoma State over Michigan as well.
What are the seeds? So Marquette's a 10. South Carolina is a 7. And then what is Oklahoma State here?
Oklahoma State is a 10.
Okay.
I've also got Middle Tennessee at 12 over Minnesota.
That's a 5-12 upset. People love the 5-12 upsets. I have all four 12 seeds advancing.
Do you really?
You're just going for it.
I have all four 12 seeds advancing. And yes,
who's the other one?
I'm a sucker for the 5-12, but in this case, it's very interesting to me. Now, I predict, honestly, if I had to bet money, I'd say 2, maybe 3 will advance. But I've got Nevada over Iowa State.
I got that too.
All right. And that's Nevada at 28-6, Iowa State 23-10. You can't just look at records, though, obviously, it's who they're playing. Middle Tennessee State over Minnesota. That's 30-4 Middle Tennessee State over 24-9 Minnesota. The one I'm really worried about, I have Princeton over Notre Dame. I don't trust Notre Dame. I never trust Notre Dame. Princeton, you know they've got high basketball IQs, right? That's the Pete Carrillo and me. And then the other one I'm really worried about. I have UNC Wilmington at 29-5 beating Virginia at 22-10. But I might.
That's probably the biggest upset there.
I might change that because Virginia's playing in the ACC. Their RPI is pretty damned high. I may go back over that one when it's all said and done. Yes.
Oh well, you've got like 20 minutes.
Let me tell you something. I'm going to be doing this with 5 minutes to go. Trust on that. All right, so we got our upsets out of the way.
I'm taking the catamounts of Vermont over Purdue, 13 over a 4.
I have former
home of Taylor Coppenrath.
I have Nevada versus Vermont in the second round, as a matter of fact. We're both in agreement on that.
No, I'm not.
Let's
Xavier over Maryland.
Xavier.
Yeah, we played Mike Francesa earlier doing that.
Same thing as Gonzaga.
Gonzaga.
Nobody cares.
Let's go with the final four. Let's just skip right ahead.
Oh.
And if you've got...
Wichita State over Kentucky. Let me get that out of the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
A lot of people are high on which I have Kentucky.
Which means they're going to eat it this year.
Right. And Wichita State is actually... I have them over Dayton. That's a 10 over a 7. But a lot of people are high on the Shocker. And who couldn't be?
Right. Well, I mean, forget it. Never mind. I'm not even going
exactly.
there. I'm not going to pretend like I know a boatload about this, okay? But multiple things I read said that Wichita State being a 10 is kind of a joke.
Yes.
They have the resume of like a 4 seed.
Yeah, it is. I don't think that they're going to beat Kentucky, but I think it'll be a really good game.
But why not? This is not one of John Calipari's best Kentucky teams. I do know that.
No, but what worries me about this Kentucky team, though, is that's one thing you also look for is who's going to be playing in the NBA next year. They got 2 lottery picks on that team. Easy. Malik Monk and De'Aaron Fox. And the funny thing about the one and done schools is that these guys tend to develop as the year goes on. So you could suck at the beginning of the year or have some stumbles. If you get hot in March, look out. If you've got an upset or a must win or you want to get your final four picks, then go ahead. 44-11-40. Let's skip ahead to that final four now. Matt George, your final four.
Arizona and Duke, North Carolina, and my Cinderella, Oregon.
Oh, my God.
Really?
So I like the Ducks.
Are you sure that you filled out your bracket, or did you just pick names out of a hat just now?
No, I filled out my bracket. You want to be condescending, Katie?
Wow.
Yikes.
Yeah. Arizona, Duke, North Carolina, and Oregon is your final four?
My final four.
Katie Christensen.
I've got my final four as Villanova, Gonzaga, Kansas, and UCLA.
Ooh.
Hey, at least you picked one team that wasn't a number one seed.
Yeah,
hey.
I know. But I didn't do it like based on seeding. Like I went through each round and this is who
I came up with. 3 out of 4 you did according
jersey
to seeding.
No,
I did which mascot would win in a fight.
I didn't say, this is the higher seed, so that's how I'm doing it. No, I just, based on how the rounds played out, that's what I ended up with. Sorry, Nate, to disappoint you. I don't have Wichita State in the final four.
Neither do I.
I just was, wondering if you're... knowledge was going to lead you to a place that was like that much ahead of what Matt George had to offer.
Yeah, because all of our college basketball knowledge is just.
I gotta side with Katie here. We're all stupid idiots.
Well, I'm saying that's why she ain't allowed to just jump all over Matt.
Thank
that.
You.
Oh, I see. Okay, you were stepping in front of Matt.
I'm
I'll
stepping in
that.
Front of Matt.
I'll accept that.
Well, the judge. Yeah.
What's the judge's ruling?
The judge's ruling is
stupid,
man.
I got Villanova, Arizona, and again, like this is just total. I mean, I actually went with the Katie method. I just, as the games played out, it's like, I can see that happening because I'm crazy. Villanova, Arizona, Kansas, and UCLA. I'm choosing UCLA because two of my favorite people are involved in UCLA. Lonzo Ball is the best athlete. Jason Ross, no offense, guys, best coworker. So I'm siding with both of them.
Let me skip ahead here for a second. I'm doing this for a reason. Who's in your final, Nate?
Villanova and UCLA.
Me
okay.
Too.
I asked that because, Nate, you and I have the exact same Final Four.
Nice.
Villanova, Arizona,
do.
Kansas, UCLA. Katie, I think you have three of our four Final Four contestants.
Okay, is Arizona beating Gonzaga for you? Because I have West Virginia beating them and then losing to Arizona in the Elite Eight.
I actually have Princeton. I'm going to change that.
Hell yeah.
I have Princeton beating West Virginia. I'm gonna change that, though. I can't handle that.
I stress out too much. Gonzaga and Arizona in the Elite Eight. So
I have Gonzaga and Arizona in the Elite Eight as well. I don't. Again, I don't trust Gonzaga. I when they win it, they win it. That's fine. I don't trust Gonzaga, and I don't trust teams to win two titles in a row. Which is why everyone's all over Villanova, and probably they should. You don't want to outsmart yourself, but come on, man.
You guys pick as your final score?
Well, we haven't gotten to the championship yet.
I thought you just said it.
Well, he's got, who'd you say you have?
UCLA and Villanova.
You got UCLA and Villanova. I have Villanova and Kansas in my title game. Katie?
I have Villanova and UCLA as well.
Villanova, UCLA. Matt George?
Arizona and North Carolina.
Arizona. Ooh. And we'll go with title. Matt George, who
Arizona, 69-65.
Nice.
Arizona, 69-65, huh?
I love Arizona.
What was Arizona's
score? Why don't you marry them? 69.
I just want to go back to spring training.
65. Katie Christensen,
I have Villanova over UCLA, 85-84.
Wow.
Oh, a thriller.
A second year in a row for a thriller for Villanova.
I'm taking UCLA, 84-78 over Villanova.
Does it pain you to choose them just because of the whole Lonzo Ball and LeVar Ball thing?
I think he likes
me.
It was hard for me to do it because I'm like, he's annoying me so much that I don't even want to choose that team. But it's like, okay, he's a great player.
Yeah, I'm just not quite there yet. I got a soft spot for UCLA basketball. I think Lonzo Ball is fantastic. Yeah. I wanted to see him do well in spite of his dad. And like I said, man, I'm in favor of anything that makes Jason Ross happy.
Villanova playing Kansas in the final. I have winning 89-81. Kansas, your national champion. Shout out, I mentioned him earlier in the show, my old producer, Sean Thomas. He did his entire bracket based on what mascot would beat the other mascot. His final four, Blue Devil versus Commodore, Wolverine versus I can't read his writing here, and the championship game, Blue Devil versus Wolverine. And that would be Michigan is your national champion.
All right.
Yeah.
That's fine.
That's a fine idea. We'll take a break. We'll rebrew next on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK. Rebrew time and time for RC Country Hobbies at 849. More than toys for big boys, it's for everyone in the family. 6011 Folsom Boulevard in Sacramento. Real quick story for you. Kid Rock is celebrating the release of his line of American Badass Grills. No, Nate, this is for you.
I have a grill, thank you, okay.
American Badass Grills, by catapulting imported grills into the air, shooting them with a shotgun, and saying, quote, in your face, China. American Badass Grills are made in the USA. Kid Rock released a statement. Would you say Rock?
In your face, Channing.
Or Kid? I guess you say Kid Rock.
Excuse me, Mr. Rock.
He released a statement coinciding with the introduction of the grill saying, quote, I'm not going to lie. It's more expensive to make things in America, but it's important to me. I love America, and I want to do all I can to create manufacturing jobs at home. So Chris Rock, Kid Rock is, has entered the grill phase.
Good for him, man. You talk about the all-time. I mean, that's a grift right there. Like, who was the record producer, honestly? Like, this dude walked into his office and was like, hey, man, here's the gig I'm going for. I'm going to be like a crappy half cowboy rapper. What do you think? And someone was like, sign this dude up.
Yeah.
Record deal.
You know, little known fact about Kid Rock. Honest to God, not joking here.
He doesn't have hair?
No, that would be actually kind of funny. Little known fact, look it up if you want. Kid Rock, tremendous musician.
Just look it up?
Look, I'm telling you, he played, there were a few.
You're talking about the number of instruments
yes,
he plays.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. I mean, dude, I feel like
you're
we should.
You're not being facetious.
I feel
I'm not
like
at
we
all.
Should raise the bar a little bit for professional musicians.
I think it would surprise a lot of people. I think it would surprise a lot of people that Kid Rock can play multiple instruments. I would have never guessed that.
I mean, that's like saying, hey, dude, this might surprise people, but Willie Cauley-Stein can dribble a basketball. He's a freaking professional,
know.
Man.
Come on, dude. Do you think a Kid Rock is as a guy who can play instruments?
He's a professional musician.
Yes, he
like
is.
I can't.
Well,
yeah.
So is Katy Perry, but I don't think she's going to be playing all the instruments on her next album.
I'll bet she'd surprise you with how much she
could
do.
She probably would. You're probably right.
I'll bet you could put her in front of a piano and she'd look great if she was topless.
Let's get to the rebrew, McGregor, Mayweather, and all that fun stuff.
How drunk am I?
Hey. Wow. Did you put this together? Was that for the wiener measuring? Is that what got that in the rebrew?
I don't know what you're talking about.
All right. Question.
I thought that wasn't happening. I've heard both.
Yeah, it wasn't. Now Dana White's come out and said, I don't know how I could possibly stop it. There's way too much money involved. It's going to happen because there's a ton of money involved. And there's a lot of dumb people.
It's out of my hands.
Exactly. Yeah, you own the guy. It's out of your hands. There's a lot of stupid people in the world, including me, that will watch. I'm not paying for it, though. I'm going to go watch it at somebody's house that's paying for it. But I'll watch.
Like your stance against, like, is that some kind of a silent protest, kind of?
Yeah, I guess. It's because it's a freaking, it's a farce. It's an absolute farce. It shouldn't be happening. It's a circus. But, mm-hmm. You know, it'll be entertaining. I'm not gonna lie. Just like this next clip from the rebrew. Mm-mm-mm. Hmm. Disagree. I think Katie will watch.
No, yeah. I won't.
You won't out of protest now because you said
no,
you won't.
No, I won't. Seriously, he's worked every nerve that I have at this point. And it's sad because I think that his sons are really gifted. And it's embarrassing to me that this grown-ass man is putting himself ahead of his kids' accomplishments. He's making it all about him. And it's taking away from how special they are as basketball players.
Katie, can you mute your headphones for a second? I want to keep this between
me
and
Dave.
I got this sneaking suspicion, Dave, and maybe you can talk about this as a friend to me since Katie's not participating. I feel like she lies out of pride more than just about anybody I know.
Serious?
I will not agree nor disagree with that whatsoever.
What is that?
Pride lying.
How do you come to that conclusion?
Katie, you didn't hear any of that.
Well, yeah, what are you talking about?
Seriously, Nate, how do you come to that conclusion?
It was a guess on his part.
I don't know what you're talking about.
He was musing.
Speculation. I think you'd watch the show.
I wouldn't.
I completely agree. I'm telling you she wouldn't because she said she wouldn't. But I think if she did, I think she'd like it more than she thinks. And that's mansplaining for a Thursday.
Wow.
Here's Nate Goodyear earlier in the show.
Me.
There was a lot of conversation on the text line earlier saying that you nor I couldn't last a year in prison.
That's not something to...
I'm not going to
stand... That's not a point of pride for me. I'm sorry, guys.
Let me tell you something. I'm not going to stand in front of you here. You're your own man, okay? I'm going to say this. I'm not saying I would enjoy a year in prison. I'm not saying it wouldn't suck. What I'm saying is I could... Listen, if nothing else, I'm 6'4". I'd shave my head freaking bald so I'd look even meaner. I'd grow one of those, like, crazy goatees that are long. And then I'd latch on to the toughest guys in the whole prison. And I'd have
so
a...
So you're saying that...
No, I'm not saying I'd be someone's bee.
Yeah.
I'm saying I think...
But you are.
I'm saying I could last a year in prison.
Dave, the only way they...
I do a radio show.
The biggest, baddest guy would allow you to latch onto him is if you were his bee.
That's not true at all. I would use my charm.
Sorry, Dave. You're not pretty enough, dude.
Yeah.
Your charm, it would be like, turn around, big fella.
That's right. I'm not pretty enough. That's right. I'm not that guy. No, thank you. I would by the end of the year, we would have, I would have the prison podcast behind bars with Carmichael Dave.
Prison podcast.
He's locked up with Carmichael Dave.
Yes, thank you. I would organize something. I would organize a Here We Riot or something in the prison. I'd be the community. I'd be the organizer. I'd be the ass roots organizer of the prison.
Ass roots. Gross. What's the matter with you?
Oh, you got something to say, Nathan.
I do. That's right. Morning Brew and Rebrew presented by McDonald's. Enjoy new McCafe, macchiatos, cappuccinos, or Americanos at McDonald's this week only. Try any small, just $1 each. Price and participation may vary for a limited time only. I'm loving it.
You know, the thing we're rolling over here is everyone's focusing on you and me, Nate. Let me tell you something. Katie Christensen was in prison for a year. That'd be like a side of ham in between a pack of wolves.
Oh, my God.
I've seen Orange is the New Black.
What is wrong with you?
Katie's in Phoenix. She'll return tomorrow. Hopefully that studio will be working all 3 hours. So thanks to Katie's engineer down there. Kevin Sherritt, your executive producer. Matt George behind the glass. Nate Goodyear.
Hi.
I'm Carmichael Dave. We'll see you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Jim Rome is next, followed by the Lowdown. Happy Bracket Thursday, everybody. March Madness is here. We're all over that tomorrow right here on Sports 1140 KHDK.